Mar had said on the Chavches and Beis that there's a drasha from a pasuk. Since the pasuk says in regards to sending those who have impurity out of the holy camp, Nizachar va'adna kevat yishalechu, from male until female you shall send them out. So the Gemara had said, Zachar vadai, that means if somebody is certainly a male, or nekeva vadayis, or certainly a female, and they become impure, they can be sent out. But that's to exclude an androgynous. Someone's an androgynous, we don't know if they're male or female. Someone's a tumtum, we don't know if they're male or female. There's no pasuk saying that they should be sent out. So here we are on Chav Chesamid Beis. The Gemara asks, Ve'ema, the third wide line, Ve'ema kule l'kidiravu da'asa. But from this pasuk we also learn that the only things sent out are things that could become tar in a mikvah. And klei charas, earthenware vessels that can't become pure in a mikvah, don't have to be sent out. Why don't we say that the whole pasuk is only teaching us the law of Rav, that it's only excluding androgynous? Answers the Gemara, Imke nichtov zachar unakeva. If the pasuk was only coming to tell me that androgynous with their white and red don't have to be sent out, the pasuk should have just said male and female. My mizachar va'ad nekeva. Why did it say from male till the female? That's to tell you, va'ad, the word until, is to say kol davar sheish lo tar b'mikvah. The only things that get sent out are things that have a purity in the mikvah, but those that don't have purity in the mikvah, like earthenware vessels, don't get sent out of the temple. Vihachi, if so, says the Gemara, this is what we had gotten up to yesterday. We are on Chav Chesam and Beis. Today's blot is Chav Tes. Is the thing working?
It's the controller, the phone that's
going to take some time to charge up. Okay. Vihachi, if that's the case, ki imti bishar tumos lo lishalchu. So why did we say that an androgynous who has white stuff and red stuff coming out of him doesn't need to be sent out of the Beis HaMikdash, even if he would become impure with other impurities like touching a dead body, he also shouldn't need to be sent out? Answers the Gemara, Amarka, the pasuk says mizachar. It doesn't say zachar, it says mizachar. Since it says mizachar, it means from the male. Mitzuma poreshes min hazachar, from those impurities that are about maleness, like the whiteness, the carry, the semen, but not the impurities that are, have nothing to do with being a male. Let's say tumas meis. Anybody has tumas meis. Ask the Gemara of the Chalecha d'chsiv mizachar ad nekeva v'mutei tumtum v'adrogenes u'dasa. Is it true that from the words mizachar ad nekeva, from male to female, that's already enough to exclude tumtum and androgynous? V'agabe erechin d'chsiv hazachar. In regards to erechin, which we know has a set value based on a person's age, if a person made the erech promise, the Torah says hazachar v'tanu l'dina b'raisa. Since it says hazachar, the male has 50 shekel, that's to say v'lo tumtum androgynous. But a tumtum androgynous, there is no erech for them. Yachal lo yehe be'erech ish, continues the b'raisa. Maybe the tumtum androgynous don't have the erech of a man. Avu yehe be'erech isha, maybe they'll have the erech of a woman of 30 shekel. Tamalom, that's why it says hazachar. And it says v'im nekeva. So since we have the extra hey and we have the extra v'im, that's to say zachar v'adin nekeva v'adois v'lotum tum androgynous. Only a male has erechin, not tumtum and androgynous. Only a female has erechin, not tumtum and androgynous. Time d'chsiv hazachar v'im nekeva. So it had to be derived from the extra hey and from the word v'im. Hamizachar nekeva lomamait. But just zachar and nekeva wouldn't have excluded tumtum and androgynous. So why over here are you saying that Zachar Nekeva is excluding Tumtum and Androgynous? And so the Gemara, there's a difference. Ahu, over there in regards to Erechin, Mibayle L'chalik, I need, if it would have said Zachar and Nekeva, just those two, I would have needed that to tell you that there's a difference between Erech Ish and Erech Isha. There's a difference between the value of a man and the value of a woman. Since it didn't just say Zachar and Nekeva, it also says Mizachar, and says Ve'im Nekeva, so to say something else also, to exclude Shumtum and Androgynous. But over here, just the fact that it said Zachar and Nekeva is already extra to exclude Tumtum and Androgynous. The fact that it says Mizachar and Minekeva, that's to say that it's only the impurities of male and female that Tumtum and Androgynous is excluded from. And therefore, if you have a Tumtum or an Androgynous who has a discharge of both white stuff and red stuff, so you'll say, well, maybe he's a woman and the red stuff made him Tamei Nida. Maybe he's a male, the white stuff made him Tamei Keri. One way or the other, he's going to be Tamei. That's true, he's Tamei, but he doesn't have to be sent out of the temple. It's a special law, special verse saying that in regards to being sent out of the temple, the Tumtum and Androgynous with the male and female type Tumos don't have to be sent out. Okay. Question, yeah. One second, yeah. Is your question?
What is the status of Tumtum and Androgynous regarding Tuma? They go to the mikveh or not based on this?
They would go to the mikveh based on a safek, but in regards to Shiluach Hamachanos being sent out of the temple, that they don't have to be sent out of the temple. Yeah, question, Baruch.
It's very confusing. I don't understand this at all. What you say that these guys are born, right?
The yes.
And they're mature. Now going to mikveh, you're talking about for purification?
No. We're saying at the end. The bottom line is that if a tumtum and androgynous are born and they're growing up, and let's say they're 13, 14 years old,
right?
We don't know if it's a male or a female.
Correct.
But what came out from that part of the body where they go to the bathroom was white stuff that looked like semen plus red stuff that looked like blood.
Okay.
So now there's certainly tummy. Because if it's a female, the red makes her a tummy. If it's a male, the white stuff made him a tzame. So he's certainly tzame. If he touches chuma, we're going to burn the chuma. However, there's a special pasuk that says that a tumtum and androgynous who have male-created or female-created impurities, if they're in the temple, they don't need to be sent out. They don't have the law that the impure needs to leave the temple, needs to leave the mikdash. That's a special pasuk.
Okay, it's very hard to understand. I mean, I understand it's a pasuk, so you can't really...
Exactly. It's a pasuk. All right, now the Mishnah goes back to talk about at what point is something considered a birth. So the Mishnah taught like this. Yatza mechutach, if the baby came out in pieces of the baby came out. O mesuras, or the baby came out of order. Instead of coming out head first, it came out feet first. So the Mishnah said if the majority of the baby came out, he's born. However, if the baby is coming out the normal way, coming out head first, once the majority of the head came out, he's considered born. And once considered the majority of the head, according to the Mishnah, once the forehead comes out.
So then we have two ways. I thought it was majority of the head.
That's,
now you're saying majority of the body from the feet.
Right. If it's coming from the feet, it's the majority of the body. If it's pieces, it's also the majority of the body. If it's coming through the head, then it's the majority of the head, which means just the forehead.
But once the forehead when it comes is out. Through the feet, you know, the head is still is inside. Am I right?
Presumably, yeah.
But they call it as a delivered boy. Or?
We call it a breech baby. Yeah, but that's a birth.
Oh, I see.
Now, that was the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar said, the Mishnah says that if the baby came out in pieces, the arm and then the leg and then another leg. So we wait till the majority of the body is out. When the majority is out, the baby is born. Says Rabbi Elazar, Afilu Aroshi Mahem. That's even true if the head came out too. So if the head came out detached, that's not enough to be a birth. If the head is attached, the Mishnah says, and it's coming out through the head, then just the head is a birth. But if the head is detached, it's coming out in pieces. If the head comes out, it's not a birth. You have to have the majority of the pieces out for it to be a birth. That's Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, lo shanu, elashena roshi man. This law of the Mishnah, that if it comes out in pieces, you need the majority to be cut out, is only if it didn't have amongst those pieces the head. Avala roshi man, but if it did have the head, then the head alone makes it a birth. Says the Gemara, so this argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, lem b'dishmuel kamifugi, presumably means that they're arguing about the law of Shmuel. So Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said if you had twins, and the one twin put his head out, and then brings his head back in, then the other twin goes out. In a rosh, potub in a phone. That head coming out of the first twin does not exempt the second twin. The second twin is considered the Bechor. So, that's presumably what's going on here too. According to Shmuel, the head coming out alone is not a birth. That's what he said. If the head came out and went back in, and then the second twin comes out, the second twin is the Bechor. We don't say that the first twin was born and then the second twin was born. We say that the second twin is the Bechor. So the same way he thinks that a head coming out is not a birth in regards to Bechor, that would be the view of Rabbi Lazar, that if all the pieces are broken up and the baby's coming out in pieces, just the head is not a birth yet. You have to have the majority. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, he disagrees with Shmuel. He thinks that a head coming out is already a birth, and therefore even in twins, if one twin put out his head and puts it back in, he's the one born first. The second twin's not the Bechor. Says the Gemara, no, it's not necessarily that they're arguing about the law of Shmuel. B'shalem, the case of the twins is when the head is whole. The head and the body is whole. Then the Kuliyama lo pligi, then maybe everybody agrees that they disagree with Shmuel. That once the head comes out, certainly that is considered a birth. Everybody says that just the head alone is a birth. Everybody disagrees with Shmuel. Ki pligi, where's the argument over here? B'machutach, when the head is cut off. Mar Savar, maybe one holds, namely Belezer, B'shalim with the kachashiv, when you have a head that's attached to a whole body, so then just the head is prominent, and the head is a birth. B'machutach, but when the head is cut off from the body, and just pieces of the body coming out, the head coming out, lo kachashiv, is not prominent to be considered a birth. However, Mar Savar, the other opinion holds, B'machutach nami chashiv, even if it's cut off, it's just the head, that's also a birth. Skipping the parentheses, says the Gemara, Ika Damasin Lahashmaitza Ba'ape Nafsha. There are those who didn't read the argument between Belezer and Rabbi Yochanan as being a discussion about our Mishnah, but rather they were talking in general. In general, they were talking about this concept about a head coming out on its own. Amr Belezer, Belezer said, In a Rosh Kirov Evarim. Rabbi Elazar says the head is not like the majority of the limbs. So therefore, if the majority of the limbs come out, it's a birth. But if just the head comes out, it's not a birth. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a rosh kirov evar, the head alone is like the majority of the limbs. And if the head comes out, it's a birth, even if the majority of the limbs haven't come out. Now, according to this version, they're arguing both about a case of pieces as well as a case of where it's all attached. Okay, according to this, says the Gemara, Vikam Ifligi B'de Shmuel. And according to this, they're arguing about the law of Shmuel. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, the head alone is like the majority of the limbs. He disagrees with Shmuel. He says if the head comes out, that's a birth. And Rabbi Lazar, who says that the head alone is not like the majority of the limbs, he would agree with Shmuel, who says that if you had twins, and one twin put his head out and then brings his head back in, and the other twin comes out, the other twin is considered Bechor, because the head alone is not a birth, only the majority of the body would be a birth. Now, according to this version, the Gemara asks a question from our Mishnah. So now we looked at our Mishnah, Yatzah Mechutach O Mesuras, if the baby came out cut in pieces, or feet first, Misha Yatzah Rubo, Hareyu Kiyulud. Once the majority of the baby is out, he's considered born. So remember, this is what it's saying. Two cases. Coming out in pieces or coming out feet first. So Mida Ka'amar O Masuras. Since it said or feet first, Michlal, it implies the Machutach. If it's coming out in limbs, it's Kitikano. It's coming out the normal way, not feet first. What's the normal way? Head first. The Ka'amar, and it's saying, even though it's coming out head first, Mishayatza Rubo Areza Kiyulud. Once most of the pieces are out, it's considered born. But apparently just that alone is not born. So Kashlu Rabbi Yochanan said, that's the problem with Rabbi Yochanan's view. He says that a head alone is a birth, whether the head is attached to the body or head detached from the body. Here you have detached from the body. Why shouldn't the head alone be a birth? Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, no, that's not the way to read our Mishnah. The way to read the Mishnah is like this. Amar, read it like this. Yatza Mechutach. He came out in pieces. Umisuras. And when he came out, he came out also feet first. So if it was pieces and feet first, that's when the Mishnah says it has to be the majority. But if it would be pieces head first, don't need the majority, because just the head would already be considered a birth. So I was like, how could you read it that way? V'ha'o katzani. But the Mishnah says, if it came out in pieces, or if it came feet first. So it's not saying that when it comes out in pieces, it's coming out feet first. And so Gemara, you have to change the Mishnah. Hachikah, I mean, this is the way to read the Mishnah. Yatzim mechutach. If the baby came out in pieces, oh shalem, or if the baby came out whole. It didn't come out in pieces. But v'zev v'zem mesuras, but both coming out whole and coming out in pieces. He's coming out feet first. Then mishiyatzer rubo rezek yilud. Then he's only considered born if the majority of him came out. But if he would be coming out head first, you don't need the majority, you just need the head. That's how Rabbi Yochanan will read our Mishnah.
Obviously that kid, the baby is dead, the baby, right?
In pieces?
In pieces.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but the second one is alive.
Mr. Potato.
Could be alive.
Yeah. It could be alive.
Yeah. I'm Rav Papa now, says Rav Papa, this argument between Rabbi Lazer and Rabbi Yochanan about whether a head alone is a birth, or no, a head is not alone, it's not a birth. You need to have a majority of the body to be a birth. Even when the head is coming out, this machlokas, says Rav Papa, is really machlokas tanayin. We learned in a brisa, yatza machutach, if the baby came out pieces, oh, mesuras, so the baby came out, feet first, mishi yatza rubo. Once the majority of him is out, harehu kialud, then he's considered born. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not once the majority of him is out that he's born. Mishiyatza kitikno. When he comes out through the head, he's considered born. But if the head hasn't come out yet, even if the majority of him is out, French Rabbi Yossi, he's not born. Says the Gemara, my comment, what is Rabbi Yossi saying? Only if he comes out the right way. Like literally, kitzikana is the right way. Once he comes out the right way. What's Rabbi Yossi saying? Let's say a baby didn't come out the right way. He came out feet first, but the whole baby came out. That's not going to be born? What is he then? So I'm going to pop up and say, this is what Rabbi Yossi is saying when he says he has to come out the right way. The Brais is saying like this. If a baby comes out in pieces, umesuras, and it's coming out feet first, mishi yatza rubo reiki yalud, once the majority of him is out, he's born. Hakitikno, implying that if he comes out head first, then even if he's coming out in pieces, arosh poter, just the head alone, would exempt. Rabbi Yossi says no. Mishiyatza rubo kitikno. If he's coming out in pieces, he has to be the majority plus the head. And if he's coming out whole, then Rabbi Yossi is saying, then if he's coming out through the feet, all you need is the majority. So what's the argument between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan? This is the same argument as Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Yossi, that when it's coming out in pieces, if it was just the head, it's not considered born. It still needs to be the majority. Even when it's coming out in pieces, you need the majority, even though it had the head. And Rabbi Yochanan's holding like the Tanakama, that if it's coming out in pieces, the head alone would be considered born. Maskeflor Rav Zvid challenged Rav Papa. Michlal, based on your explanation of Rabbi Yossi, Dibbe Mesuras, if he's coming out feet first, in pieces, Rubo Nami Lo Poter, even though it was a majority, it doesn't work. It would have to be a majority plus the head. Ayva Kaiman Rubo Kekulo. Don't we normally paskin that the majority is like the whole thing? We have a rule, the majority is like the whole thing. So if the majority came out feet first without the head coming out at all, that should also be considered a birth. I would Rabbi Yossi not agree with that. Elam Rav Zvid, Rav Zvid therefore disagrees with Rav Papa. He says, Achi Kama, this is the way to read the Braisa. Tanakama is saying like this, Yatza Mechutach, if the baby came out in pieces, Umisoras, and feet first. Tanakama is Mishi Yatza Rubo, once the majority of him is out, Hareza Kiyalud, that's born. Hakitikno, but if he came out head first, even if it's pieces, Harosh Poter, just the head alone, is considered a birth. And that Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says no. When is the head alone a birth? Mishiyatzo kitikno l'chayim. when he comes out in his normal way, in a way that could live. In other words, if he had the whole body, when it's not in pieces, and the head comes out, so that's the head is a birth. But in pieces, then the head alone is not a birth. In pieces, you need to have, even with the head, the majority of the body. So now again, you have Reb Elazar like Reb Yossi. Reb Elazar is saying that the head of the cut baby is not the whole baby. Reb Yochanan holds like the Tanakama, that even when the baby's cut up into pieces and just the head comes out, it's already considered a birth. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a brisa like Reb Zvid's explanation. Yatza Mechutach, if the baby comes out in pieces, Misoras, feet first. Mishi Yatza Ruba, once the majority is out, Arezekiyalud, that's considered a birth, even though the head is still in. Hakitikano, that implies if it came out head first. Harosh Poter, just the head alone, is considered a birth. Rabbi Yossi says, no, for the head alone to be a birth, it would have to be Mishi Yatza Ketikno Lachayim, it would have to be a head that's attached. Ezeo Ketikno Lachayim, and at what point is the baby coming out through the head and considered born? Mishiyetze rov rosho, once you have the majority of the head. So now we're going to have, unlike our Mishnah, said, what's the majority of the head? The forehead. Now we have in the Braisa and the Machlokas about it. Ezeo rov rosho, what's the majority of the head? Rabbi Yossi yom mishiyatzu tzdav, once the temples go out, right? The sides of the head. Abba Chanin, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Mishiyatza Padachto. Abba Chanin says that Rabbi Yeshua it is once the forehead is out. V'yesh Omer Mishiyuro, Karnei Rosho. Some say once you see the horn of the head. In other words, once the majority of the head, the height of the head is out, at that point is considered born.
Rabbi, presumably it's the midwives that are testifying what came out.
Okay.
Right? Is that,
makes sense.
They need to then figure out how much they need to know how tummy this mother is. That's really the last
thing. I would think so. Yeah.
I mean, how do you say measure the majority when it's not talking about the head?
Yes.
Like, is it the length? Is it the body mass? The number of layers? Any idea?
I would think the length.
Just the length.
I would think.
The feet up to the chest, for example, right?
That yeah. Okay, so now we're going to have a Gemara that we really need a chart for, as we're going to see. Now we're going to need a countdown and a chart. Okay. When a woman gives birth to a boy...
Like a calendar?
Yes, a calendar. Now that we have it here. When a woman gives birth to a boy, the Torah says she's tummy for 7 days. After the 7 days, she goes to the mikvah, and she could be intimate with her husband. For the next 33 days, even if she has blood, she's tahor. She can stay and have intimacy with her husband. At the end of the 40 days from the birth, at the end of these 33 days, she's back in her normal period. If she has blood, she's a nida. Mm-hmm. Tummy for 7 days. At the end of the seventh day, she goes to the mikvah, and then that night she can be intimate with her husband. Then after the nida days, she has 11 days where she could be a zava. If she bleeds 3 days in a row in the 11 days, she's a zava. She now needs 7 clean days to be able to go to the mikvah. If she has 7 clean days, she can go to the mikvah and then be with her husband. Okay. If a woman has a girl, she's tummy for two weeks, then goes to the mikvah and can be with her husband. Then she has 66 days where all blood is tahar. After the 66 days, if she has blood, she's a nida for 7 days. Then after those 7 days, if she has blood in the 11 days, she would be a zava. 1 day of bleeding is only a zava ktana, shomeres yom keneged yom. 3 days of bleeding is a zava gedola. She needs ayin nekiyim. She needs 7 clean days. So says the Mishnah. Hama pelas. A woman had a miscarriage or she did an abortion. Ve'ena yadua mahu. We don't know what came out of her. We don't know what it was. We don't know if it was a boy or if it was a girl. Maybe in theory it may have been nothing. Maybe it was a false alarm. Maybe it wasn't if you're in a pregnancy. All right. We don't know what it was, a boy or a girl. So Teshev, she has to be Machmir. So Teshev Lezachar, she has to imagine it's a boy. And she has to have a week of Tumah. And then the Nekeva, another week of Tumah. Maybe it was a girl. And in terms of days of Tahara, that the bleeding is pure, that would only be for 26 days, not for 66 days. What happens though if Ein Yodua Im Vlad HaYa Im Lav? Let's say we don't even know if she was really pregnant. In other words, the pregnancy was early stage. She thought she was pregnant. We're not really sure. Then something comes out of her. We don't know what came out of her. So now, Teshev Lezachar, she should have a week as the tumah of a boy. Then another week of an akeva, the tumah of a girl. And then if she has blood after that, and she has blood 2 weeks in, we don't say the blood is tar because it's certainly yamei tohar. Because maybe there's no yamei tohar here. Maybe she didn't have a child at all. So then she also has to have nida. So if she has blood 2 weeks in, she's going to be a nida too, because we assume that maybe she had nothing. So we treat her with all the possible chumros. Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, a woman who seemed pregnant, Avranar, she goes through a river, the Pila, and she doesn't have the pregnancy anymore. Now we don't know what it was, boy or a girl. Now the truth is maybe she wasn't even pregnant. So maybe she wasn't pregnant. Maybe it was a false alarm. Nevi'a carbon, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, she can bring a carbon, the birds, v'ne'achal, the carbon gets eaten. Maybe it was a false alarm. No, we don't say that. It's because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, aleichacha rov nashim, follow most women, follow majority, rov nashim v'lad ma'al yaldam. Most women have a full baby. So ask the Gemara and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi from our Mishnah, time we lived in our Mishnah, en yaduim v'lad haya, if we're not even sure if she had a pregnancy, then Teshuv Lezachar Ulna Cave of Lanida, and she has to have a week for a male, another week for maybe it was a female, and then if she sees blood after 14 days, another week, maybe she's a Nida. Now, am I Teshuv Lanida? If we follow majority, why should she sit? Maybe it's a Nida. Why don't you say Aleichacha Rov Nashim Vlad Mal Yaldan? He just said most women who are pregnant have a baby, so say that she has a baby. So Gemara says Masnisin B'Shalo Huchsuka. This part of the Mishnah is when talking about early, early stage, before 3 months, she hasn't popped yet, she's not showing. When did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say that most women are pregnant, have a baby when it's 5 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant, when everybody saw that there was a pregnancy there? Tashma, come here, proof. We learned Behema Shiyatza Malaya. We learned an animal that went out to pasture when she was pregnant. Uva'a, and then she comes back Reikanis, empty. She comes back after being out in the field without a baby. Haba Achra, the baby that next comes, is considered a Bechar Misafik. It is a Bechar, because maybe she wasn't really pregnant, it was just gas that came out of her. Now, if you have a concept of a majority, so use the majority for animals too. Am I? So, say, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, am I? Why do you have this law? Halechacha Rov Behemos. Why don't you say, let's go to the majority of animals. Most animals that look pregnant are pregnant. Rov Behemos Vlad Mal Yalda. Most animals give birth to a full baby. Vay Pashadu. So therefore, this second baby is not a Bechor. Amar Avina. Avina answered, because there's a Chazaka here too. Ikadulamehma. You could say, Rov Behemos Yodos Davar Apoter Mi Bechor. It's true. Most animals give birth to a baby, and the next baby shouldn't be a Bechor. But a miyutan yodos davar shein apoter mi bechor. There is a minority that doesn't give birth to a baby, but gives birth to just tissue, wind, something that would make the next child the bechor. There's also kala yodos metanfos, animals that give birth the day before they give birth, they discharge fluid. The zuovelo tinfa here, this one, the day before she went out into the field, she didn't discharge anything. So Israel Eruba, that weakens the majority, and therefore we're not so sure that she ended up having a baby. So one second, if all the animals that give birth the day before they have fluid, and this one didn't have fluid the day before, how many lomatanfo, the fact that this one didn't have fluid the day before, that means that she didn't give birth. That means that Bukhar Ma'ayu, that means that the baby that comes later is certainly a Bukhar. Elohim must read it like this, Rov Yoldos Matanfos. Most animals that give birth, they first have a discharge. This one, since she didn't have a discharge, makes us think maybe she's not giving birth. Israel Aruba, that weakens it, and that's why we're not sure that she gave birth. Okay, that completes the discussion of following a rove. When we see a pregnancy, do we follow the majority to assume that the pregnancy results in a baby?
If the first one is like the tissue or whatever,
yes,
you know, it comes out. The second baby is a bahor,
yes.
Right. Tissue doesn't count.
Right, because the tissue is not peter rechem. The second baby is the peter rechem, what opens the womb.
breaking the water breaking.
Yeah, right.
Ki asa Ravin. When Ravin came from Israel to Babel, Amar, he said like this. Masiv Reb Yosef Reb Chanina. Reb Yosef Reb Chanina challenged Reb Yeshua ben Levi, who says we follow majority from the law of Toa, of a woman who's totally famished. She's making a big mistake. She knows she was pregnant. She knows she's not pregnant. She doesn't know when she became non-pregnant. She doesn't know what she became non-pregnant with. She's all confused. He asked a question from the case of Toa, and Ravin said, "V'lo yodana mai tiyufta." I don't see what the question is. Mahi, what was this discussion? The time we lived in a Bryson, turning to Chavtes and Beis. Everybody, look at your charts.
Okay.
Isha sheyatza maleya. A woman left us pregnant. Uva, she comes back reikanis, not pregnant. We don't know when she lost this pregnancy. But now we see she's not pregnant. Then, after she came back to front of us, Vehevia lefanenu, from the day she came before us, she now brings to us shlosha shavuin tahorim, 3 weeks of no blood. Looking at the chart, you see,
you didn't see three.
3 times 7 wow. That are all white, all clean, no blood. Then, after 3 weeks of no blood, she then has asara shavuos, 10 weeks of alternating. Echad tame, 1 week of each of these 7 days seeing blood. Ve'echad tor, the next week, each of these days not seeing blood. Then again, each of these days seeing blood. And then again, each of these days not seeing blood. So look at the chart. You have 3 weeks that are all white. Then the fourth week is blood. All blood. Fifth week, all white. Sixth week, all blood. Seventh week, no blood. Eighth week, all blood. Ninth week, no blood. 10th week, all blood. Okay, this goes on till the end of the 13 weeks. So you have 3 weeks all clean, then 10 weeks alternating. Either every day blood or every day clean. This kid, and she doesn't know anything that what happened.
It's not necessary.
So now, when can she actually have intercourse with her husband? Meshameshes la'or shloshem v'chamish. She can only have intercourse with her husband for the first time on the night of the 35th day after she comes in front of us. So after 5 weeks. Umat bilinosa, now according to Beis Shammai, we make her go to the mikvah. Tishim v'chamish tvilos, dear Rebbe Shammai, 95 times. We make her go to the mikvah 95 times. Because according to Beis Shammai, tvilah b'zman ha-mitzvahi. When a woman, let's say, has a nida, and so, you know, when the nida blood comes, she's tummy for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, she could go to the mikvah. Let's say her husband's away. Beis Shammai says she should go to the mikvah anyway. Because there's a mitzvah to become tar as soon as you can become tar. So when there's the time that you maybe should be going to the mikvah, you have to go to the mikvah. So in this case, where everything's all confused, she's going to go to the mikvah 95 times. 95
separate times?
95 separate times. We're going to see why. Beis Hillel say, that doesn't have to do 95 times. Shlosha v'chamish, 35 times. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudasin, she doesn't need to have 35 times. Daya litvila shetehe b'achrona. She can do one tefillah at the end. He doesn't need to be going to the mikvah multiple times. Okay, that's going to be the second part of this gemara. I'm not sure we're going to get to that. All right, let's start with the first part. Bishlama shavua rishon lo meshameshes. I understand why in the first week she can't have intercourse, even though in that first week that she came in front of us there was no blood. Because Eimar yoledes zachari, maybe she had had a miscarriage right before she came in front of us, and maybe the miscarriage was a boy. So if there was a boy, she's tummy for 7 days. So these are the 7 days of the boy. Shavua sheni, the second week, I also understand why she can't have intercourse. And here that is the kevli. Maybe the miscarriage was a miscarriage of a girl. Then she's tummy for 2 weeks. That's why she can't have intercourse with her husband. Shavua shlishi, the third week, I also understand why she can't have intercourse. Why? Because Ema yoledes nekeva bezovi. Maybe she had given birth to a girl. But when did she give birth to the girl? She doesn't know anything. She may have been a Zava. She may have had been in her 11 days of Zov. And in those 11 days, she had had blood for 3 days. And then she had the miscarriage of the girl. So now, a Zava only becomes pure when she has 7 clean days, days of no tumah. So if she had a girl, those 2 weeks are not 7 clean days. Now she needs to have a 3rd week to have 7 clean days. That's why she can't be with her husband. Ella shavua revi, but now once you get to the 4th week, where? The 4th week, looking back at the chart. The 4th week is all dark. It's all tumah every day. The 4th week asks the Gemara, so what, that it's all blood? Afagav dekachazia. Dam, even though she's seeing blood, to Shami, she should be able to have intercourse. Da dam tarhu, right? Whether it's a boy or a girl, it's going to be dam tar. It's going to be clean blood. So, why don't we say that?
But
we say on the 35th day. So, what do you see? We don't follow majority. We say maybe she didn't even have a baby. So if she didn't have a baby, then there's no dam tar, and maybe she's a nida. So you see that Rabbi Shimon Levi is wrong. So that was the question. Rabbi Shimon Levi says we say when a woman is pregnant, most times she has a baby. Here you see not. So Elamai lo yadana mai tiyufto. What's the question? Why did he say I don't understand the question from the Braisa? You understand the question. The Braisa implies we don't follow majority. Rabbi Shimon Levi says we follow majority. Someone says the reason why he said he didn't understand the question is Eimar Yechiko Leidasa. Why is that a question from the Braisa? The Braisa is not a proof we don't follow majority. The Braisa might mean that she had had a baby way before these 3 weeks. She left us. She left us maybe for 5 weeks. Then she comes back. Then she has 3 weeks that are clean, and then alternating weeks that are impure. We don't know what happened. Maybe she had the baby 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. Maybe the Meitor are over already. Maybe she left us for 2 months. Meitor are gone. So it's not that this Braisa proves we don't follow majority. We think maybe there was no baby at all. No, maybe we do follow the majority. There was a baby, but the Braisa is saying the baby may have been so much earlier that you don't have Yimei Tar. So there's really no question from this Braisa on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi.
You don't know when she left? Or?
Yeah, we don't know when she left. We just know when she came back. Okay. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha.